Good morning. We continue our series in John's Gospel. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through to 23, Jesus had healed a man born blind. He rejected the idea that sin caused the man's condition, and he declared that God's works would be displayed through this man born blind who could now see because he had healed him. The miracle sparked controversy. The Pharisees condemned Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. The healed man courageously defended Christ, and his fearful parents evaded the truth. This morning, we examine John chapter 9, verses 24 through to 41. The road to faith always begins with confession, the humble acknowledgement of our true condition and of Christ's mighty power. The Pharisees summoned the once blind man and in verse 24 declared, "Give God the glory. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner." The Pharisees were effectively accusing the man of lying and demanding he retract his testimony concerning Jesus. Yet in verse 25, the man replied with remarkable honesty, "Whether he, Jesus, is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Notice two aspects of his confession. First, he confessed his ignorance. He did not pretend to have all the answers. He simply admitted his limitation. Humility is always the starting point of faith. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisees, by contrast, kept saying, "We know, we know, we know." And in their arrogance, they missed Christ entirely. Secondly, the once blind man confessed his experience. He did not engage the Pharisees in theological debate. He simply testified to what Christ had done in his life. Once he was blind, now he could see. Once he sat in darkness, now he walks in the light. Not every Christian will have a dramatic testimony, but every Christian can say, "I was lost, but now I am found." Christians, let it be that our fiercest critics are unable to deny the change in our lives since we met Jesus. People may mock your faith and ridicule the Bible, but may they have no ground to stand on when confronted with your transformed life. Being unable to silence the once blind man, the Pharisees cast him out of the synagogue. To be cast out was no small matter. It meant personal disgrace, social rejection, and alienation from the community. But then we read of Jesus' response. Verse 35 says, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him," notice the man did not go looking for Jesus. Jesus went looking for the man. That is grace. That is grace. In other religions, it is man seeking God. In biblical Christianity, it is God seeking man. The hymn writer captured it perfectly. "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God." Luke 19 verse 10 declares, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." If you have been cast out by the proud and powerful in your life, take heart. Jesus will find you. If you have been rejected by men, Jesus will receive you. Jesus asked the man in verse 35, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" This is the question of questions. It is personal. Jesus was looking directly at this man and demanding an answer. And it is doctrinal. It calls for a definite declaration of who Jesus is. The title Son of Man has its roots in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and speaks of both Christ's identification with humanity and his divine messianic authority. This question cannot be ignored, postponed, or answered casually. To not answer it is to answer it. Jesus is asking you the very same question this morning. Do you believe in the Son of Man? How you answer determines where you spend eternity. The man in verse 36 responded, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said in verse 37, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." At that, the man declared, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. This is conversion, being sought by Christ, confronted by his question, enlightened by his revelation, and brought to living faith. If you have never surrendered your life to Christ, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no one. The once blind man's journey climaxes in consecration, the surrender of his life to Christ in faith and worship. He said simply, "Lord, I believe." The verb "believe" here is in the present continuous tense, speaking of an ongoing committed trust in Jesus, not a mere momentary acknowledgement. This man did not just believe in his head. He surrendered his heart. The one who was once physically blind now saw both physically and spiritually, and he worshiped Jesus. Faith in Jesus inevitably leads to the worship of Jesus. Worship is not an optional extra. It is the natural overflow of saving faith. If your faith does not lead you to worship, it is not genuine faith. Saving faith bends the knee and lifts the heart to Christ. The man who once begged in his blinded darkness now bore witness in the light. He who once sat by the roadside now stood as a disciple of Jesus. Consecration means no longer living for self, but for Christ who died for us and rose again. Jesus declared in verse 39, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." The same light that gives sight blinds those who refuse it. The humble confess their blindness and receive sight. The proud claim to see and remain spiritually blind. The Pharisees, with all their learning, rejected Christ. The blind beggar, with nothing but need, believed and was saved. Which are you this morning? My dear listeners, Christ's question still resounds. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do those of you who are Christians live in consecration, worship Jesus, and walk faithfully with him? To my non-Christian listeners, confess your spiritual blindness. Jesus is willing to remove your spiritual darkness if you would but surrender your heart and life to him. Seek his forgiveness of your sins. Trust him by faith, and he will transform your life. In other words, you must, like the once blind man in the story, say, "Lord, I believe." Until we meet again next week, may Christ bless you greatly.